On this journey that I've been on for about three or four years now, I have had a number of people who play it safe in organizations be very uncomfortable when I talk about fired leadership. And the reason they're uncomfortable is because, and I'm about to link two concepts here at a macro level, and so I'm gonna talk about the way we treat being fired as a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hang around with a leader who's been fired.
Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Thank you for tuning in. Today's going to be fun because I met Paul McCarthy, I think it's been a couple of years now where we synced up via Zoom during the pandemic and universe brought us back together again on LinkedIn. I was like, Paul, you need to come be a guest on Create Magic at Work. And the reason why I was so passionate about bringing Paul on the show is because he is an author of a book called Fired Leadership. He's a speaker on disruptive leadership. He describes himself as a positive disruptor of the status quo. Love that. And also a guide to address organizational toxicity. So somebody that also wants to regenerate the future of leadership. Paul, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Amy, thank you. That's a very kind introduction of you from you. And I think we met in a time when the world was going through what I would call the largest global human capital experiment in history called COVID. And, you know, it presented, I think, us a precipice. We got to a turning point or a tipping point where we started to see leadership and the world of work quite differently. And so I think that's how we met within that context. And obviously down along our paths, we're doing very similar work in this sphere. But I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about what the future holds and how do we become united in how we do this. And I think there's a lot of conversations that we could have, and I'll be guided by what you want to talk about and take it anywhere it needs to go.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I want to ask you, because you say you're a positive disruptor of the status quo, why does the status quo need to be disrupted in a positive way?
All right. How long do we have? Why
just 20 minutes.
Why is the status quo? Well, quite simply, Amy, and to anyone listening, because the status quo doesn't work. And we've pretty much pretended that it has worked until this global human capital experiment called COVID unveiled the true extent of ineffectiveness, dysfunction, and toxicity that characterized the way that we structure our modern day approach to organizations and the way that we look at identifying, recruiting, onboarding, and developing talent, specifically leaders, is a symptom of that systemic and institutional dysfunction. And so we've really got an opportunity now to open our eyes, wake up to the fact that actually the way that we've been doing things has not worked. And I can cite all the statistics you want. All I'm doing is connecting the dots. And that's why I started a few years ago by talking about the rising levels of disengagement and burnout and we now call it quiet quitting, but essentially it's the manifestation of people saying enough is enough. We want to change the way that we've worked and we want to evolve the future of work and be involved in how we actually structure our approach to work and organizations and leadership going forward. So the time is now and we're waking up, and my whole work, Amy, is really helping us to pull the veil back to say, it's time to rethink, it's time to reimagine, reinvent, and regenerate what the future looks like.
Yeah. Can you take us back to the fired leader and what inspired you to write that book and share a little bit, if you're comfortable, about your journey with that?
Yeah, yeah. I would say, again, for listeners and anyone I speak to, this was an accidental path for me. I think the universe obviously wanted me to go down this path and guided me along the way. But I wanted to be the leader who fitted in. You know, I wanted to be the leader. I had the corner office. I had the title, the status, the, everything that you can imagine I had. And I was an expert, or they called me an expert in developing leaders. So I would be pushed out to develop leaders in from consulting firms to household name clients that we all know. I would develop their leadership capacity, capability, and competency. So I knew what was coming. I knew what was on the horizon, the trends of how we needed to think about developing future leaders. Now, alongside this, the more senior I got in my leadership roles, I became, you know, more senior in the organization. And I would be recruited for having certain qualities that they wanted in the organization. And as soon as I started demonstrating those qualities, I became a pariah, an office pariah, or blacklisted, or marginalized. I was too disruptive with the qualities that I was displaying as a leader. Again, these were the qualities that I was hired for, and eventually I would be fired for. And so this happened 4 times in North America over almost a 30-year career globally. And I started, because I was someone keeping up with the trends and what we needed for our future leadership talent to evolve, I became really curious, Amy. And instead of being the guy that goes to the bookstore and looks at the self-help shelf and say, how do I get a book that helps me through being fired? And how do I move on to my next gig and massage my resume? Because we all do. Let's not lie about it. We all kind of show that time in history in a different light. You know, I actually stepped into it. Firstly, I said, well, what is the issue with me? Why do I keep being fired? So I did all that work behind the scenes, which never stops, by the way, that whole self, I mean, like anyone that thinks it stops, or you read a book and you've got a magic answer, or tell me what your answer is. I want to be with you. But so I started then questioning the systems, the processes, the structures that our modern day organization is characterized by. And I started to think, oh, I have a hypothesis. What if we're firing the very talent that we need to navigate ongoing disruption? The year was 2017. So, as I said off stage with you, before the largest human capital experiment in history, COVID, disrupted our whole approach to the future of work and leadership, I was starting to ask this question. And because I was looking at all the research and what we needed for future leadership development, I spent a year of my life looking to determine whether these qualities, which I would eventually call fired, fresh thinking, inquisitive nature, real and accountable, expressive and challenging, and direct and transparent. And we have a whole methodology and series of programs that underpin and reinforce these 5 simple words that could fit on a post-it note to describe what our future leaders need. But I wouldn't know that at the time, because I spent a whole year of my life to determine whether these qualities featured in the way we developed our leaders, current and future. And guess what? They don't. And so that's where fired leadership was birthed. And I have to say to anyone listening, and to you as part of filling in some of the gaps in my story, a lot of people in my world did not want me to pursue this path. Friends, family, peers, alumni, they said, don't upset the apple cart. Everything's fine. You were just a bad hire. You were a bad culture fit. You're bitter about being fired. Can't you just let it go? And I heard such monikers like that. And I said, I'm really not doing this because I'm bitter or twisted about being fired. Actually, it's the best thing to ever happen to my career and to me as a person. I accidentally stepped on the fact that the way we structure our organizations is not fit for identifying, recruiting, onboarding, and developing the future leaders we need. And therefore, I started to talk about it. And I just started to talk about it to as many people as I could. Mm-hmm. And that's really how fired leadership was born. Amy, mm-hmm. and my story as part of that. And so for me, this whole thing goes much further than me. It's about how do we change the narrative so that future leaders are embraced for these qualities and others that will come along, instead of being marginalized, stigmatized, and pushed out of organizations, because that talent we're pushing out of organizations is the very talent we need to navigate the future.
Yeah, not only pushing out, some are just leaving.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, it's fired, pushed out, or leaving because you're not subscribing to the status quo, what came up for me when you were sharing all of that was, oh, he was put in this position, like he's saying, and I think that these high-level leaders sense something needs to change because things aren't working the way they should. The systems that we're placed in just are not available for everyone to thrive in. However, once that system starts to get shaken up a little bit, there's an automatic response to just go back to what we've, to homeostasis, even if homeostasis is dysfunctional, right? And that just came up for me, and that I wanted to share that because I want everyone listening to think about, has there been, I talk about toxic positivity in the workplace. And I actually had, I was a guest on a podcast where someone asked me, would you fire someone if they were on your team and they were being negative? Because they said, well, Grant Cardone does it or something like that. So, you know, and I'm like, okay. And I said, hold on a second. We need to be very careful with the way that we're viewing people being negative in the workplace, because what that is in disguise is everyone shows up and they're all yes people. They're all fake positive. They're all subscribing to what maybe that status quo that we were talking about, but really inside everyone's soul is being crushed. And if you're a leader that isn't accepting critical feedback, as long as it's not ego-based, as long as it's coming from your team's inner wisdom and compassion, you're actually shutting down significant voices for innovation and inspiration in the workplace. And I just want to highlight that and talk about that, especially if you know, I think everyone kind of knows deep down in their soul, in their inner core, if you put your ego aside, that some things need to shift a little bit for the greater good. And I think it can feel a little scary once they do start shifting. And perhaps you were the edgewalker that was sensing the future, was wanting to take risks, was wanting to manifest this newer vision, which are all skills of an edgewalker and change management. And there was some sort of fear from someone holding the status quo that energetically came up. And I think there's a lot of edgewalkers that experience that in change management. So I just wanted to share what came up with me when you were sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. There's so much in what you just said, like toxic positivity. There's this whole idea that we wear masks at work. Like, and Frederick Laloux, when he talks about this in Reinventing Organizations, which is his seminal work on the fact that the way we structure organizations is shifting to be more self-managed and more network focused. So almost like a rainforest approach to organizing our organizations rather than hierarchical top down. And one of the central premises that I talk about in my first of three books, as well as a lot of my work, is that we're never encouraged. Here's the polarity and the contradiction and the hypocrisy of what I'm about to say. We put all these buzzwords together on one page laminate menus that don the walls of leadership corridors and in our brochures and on Glassdoor and all these kinds of environments. We say we want leaders to show up as them, vulnerable, with integrity, authenticity, and other words that I and you have probably also created for clients. But on the other hand, when leaders actually, and not just leaders, when all talent show up in an organization as they are real, I call it the real and accountable of the fired methodology, they're stigmatized for it. And so we learn to wear these professional masks. And firstly, that's just exhausting. Secondly, it's disingenuous. Third, the futurists out there and people like me and other researchers and other thought leaders are showing that this quality of being real is actually going to be your new currency for recruiting, attracting, recruiting, and retaining top talent. So that comes up for me in what you said. One of the other things that came up, and I love the idea of the edge walker. What comes up for me, and I have my own podcast where I talk about certain topics each month. And one of the topics I talked about recently was making the case for leaders who think differently. And there's over 200 different types of bias out there. And one of them, which I'm firmly convinced from the research and case studies and conversations I'm having, is going to be the next challenge for HR, the HR industry. And it's to embrace divergent thinkers. So we call it the cognitive diversity bias. And in a nutshell, it's people that show up and think differently to the status quo, that actually, when they do think differently, what they do is they scare people. They scare the status quo. And you mentioned this really beautiful concept of, and I talk about it in my book, ego. And I talk about it from concept of ego-based leadership landmines. So when those divergent thinkers, those edge walkers, those different people that think differently from the herd approach an organization or approach a problem or a challenge and look at it in terms of solutioning differently, what they do inadvertently is they step on these leadership landmines that upset the current cadre of leaders. They don't know they've done this because these types of leaders that we're talking about that are required for the future are very focused on purpose. So they're focused on the bigger picture. They're not self-indulgent. They don't care about the office, corner office, the title. They don't care if they're really liked by their colleagues, and they don't care about wearing a mask at work. In fact, negativity is a way of communicating where there's an opportunity to evolve. And so they shift the way they see things. And that's really what the future requires us to do. So much in what you've just said surfaces for me. And I think, yeah, the edge walking concept, fired leaders are edge walkers. And I'd love to kind of get your take on that and go into that a little bit more detail if we wanted to.
Yeah, I think you totally described it so well. I would say fired leaders that are operating from purpose, passion, vision for the greater good are edgewalkers, right? Because I do want to acknowledge, I mean, I worked in retail, I operated 90 telecom locations at the peak of my career. And there are times where someone isn't a fit and they're operating from what I would say ego state. You know, maybe there was a internal theft or something like that. And we had to maybe let someone go. That could be a fired leader also. So I would describe fired leader edgewalker wise as all of those things. Maybe somebody that was disrupting the status quo with their passion, their vision, their sensing of the future, their unwavering focus on purpose, like you said. And what's interesting to that is I see with all of the leadership stuff that comes out on LinkedIn or that's in kind of the consciousness of leadership at the time, where there is a lot of talk about authenticity in the workplace. And we want you to be your authentic self. We want you to show up as your authentic self. I'm sure you know the data behind that is very strong, that when people actually are able to do that, there's innovation, there's inspiration, there's productivity, there's profitability, there's all the things. However, you show up to the table and it's like, well, we wanted you to be your authentic self, but like us. And then that's, and then you're in this bind where, okay, I have bills to pay. I have a family. I have kids that are heading off to college. I signed up for this, so now I'm going to have to wear the mask. And I feel like some people, and it's okay, that's where they are, right? Like, I just acknowledge that I'm getting a paycheck here. I'm going to play the game, and then I'm going to go home and, you know, enjoy my family time or whatever that is. I would argue that's not an edge walker, right? Because, but there's different phases that we go through in our lives where that may occur. However, what you and I are talking about is that feels soul crushing to me. That's compartmentalizing who you are. There's going to be a cost for that. When at the end of the day, one way or another. And so disrupting the status quo, and this might be way out there, it's like, if leaders aren't going to get this, my take is these types of leaders, these types of companies are naturally going to die out over time, because people are going to choose to work for the enlightened leader that's operating from inner wisdom and compassion over ego, if we all are in this for the greater good. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna take this up a level, and I'm gonna talk about this at a macro level as well. Because before I do that, though, I wanted to clarify that, you know, when we talk about fired leaders, some leaders do deserve to get fired, right? So leaders who do unethical, immoral things, who take advantage of people or abuse their positions, absolutely, I believe, should be fired through protocol and due diligence and all that. What came up for me when you talked about that earlier, which I just addressed that point there, was interesting, because on this journey that I've been on for about three or four years now, I have had a number of people who play it safe in organizations be very uncomfortable when I talk about fired leadership. And the reason they're uncomfortable is because, and I'm about to link two concepts here at a macro level. And so I'm going to talk about the way we treat being fired as a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hang around with a leader who's been fired, right? I can tell you so many stories of people that I used to work with who now don't engage with me, because at first they thought that I was just talking about being fired and I'm so upset by it and blah, blah, blah. By the way, 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of the people that I know now who are leadership scholars and influencers, they thought I was crazy, right? They said it will never take off. What you're talking about doesn't work. Now, 3 or 4 years later, they're in my network because they realize they've started to wake up. They've started to become aware of the impact that dysfunctional leadership has. All I'm saying, folks, is fired leaders with those five fired qualities are your future leaders. And also, they have the courage to speak up about something that doesn't work. So they're the ones that get marginalized. But nobody really likes, well, actually, it's changing. To begin with, nobody wanted to say, oh, I'm a fired leader. Because they're still thinking it with a taboo hat on. You've been fired, so that's a bad thing. Actually, once you look beneath the surface, the fired is a methodology for the five leadership qualities that are missing from the future of leaders that we need. And there is a deliberate intention on my part to say, organizations, wake up. You are firing talent that have the qualities that are needed for the future. Look at that organize. Look at the people that you want to fire and look at how prepared they are with these qualities to help your organization. You know, you talked about numbers earlier and, you know, there are numbers around people turning up, playing it safe, just getting their paycheck and doing nothing else. And the number is this: $7.8 trillion a year, Gallup estimates, is the global cost of disengagement. That's people turning up, working the minimum, quiet quitting, you might say, quiet firing, and just doing the minimum, staying in their cubicle and doing nothing else. That's the first macro concept. The second macro concept I want to talk about, and to link this one to, is Korn Ferry a few years ago, in the beginning of pre-pandemic, came out with what they call the self-disruptive leader. And it was a piece of research globally that looked at how disruptive countries are. And in order to maintain positions of influence and be at the forefront of economic growth, countries have to invest more in disruptive leadership talent for those companies in those countries to continue to innovate, right? But currently, 15% of leaders globally, 1/5, self-identify as being a self-disruptive leader. This speaks to the second point that I want to talk about, which is we have got that into our heads. We've got this idea that to be disruptive is a bad thing. But I envisage a world where we normalize that disruption and disruptive leadership is the future of leadership and is the thing that is the stepping stone for those edge walkers you talk about, those fired leaders, those leaders who kind of just don't fit in, they're divergent in their thinking and their style. But they're the ones we need, Amy, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that we need. So companies around the world and countries are starting to actively invest in how they embed the ability to disrupt in their organizations and their leadership. So think about that. We are sitting on a goldmine of opportunity to create the next generation of talent using this concept of disruption and disruptive leadership at its core. But we're still stuck in the matrix. We're still stuck thinking, well, disruption's a dirty word, so we don't really like to embrace it. But let me give you a quick kind of like a backward trajectory. Innovation, in my thought and my research and my book and my work, innovation comes from disruptive thinking. Mm-hmm. Disruptive thinking comes from the ability to think and dare to act differently. That's what I call fresh thinking, the F in my FIRE methodology. But that ability comes from the ability of us to be able to have honest-based and trust-based dialogue to talk about what is the culture that we want to create for our talent. And you can't do that unless you have what Amy Edmondson calls psychological safety. So you have to create the environment to create the culture that it's okay to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And to do so in a way where we might not always agree, but we do it in a healthy way. So that's my trajectory of how you actually get innovation.
Yep. Yeah. You hold opposing views in the same space and have win-win solutions from them? That's the definition in spiritual intelligence of a wise and effective change agent right there. Mm.
And to your point about change agents, leaders that have disruptive leadership qualities, edge walkers, fired leaders, disruptive leaders, whatever you want to call them, rebel talent, rare breeds, whatever you want to call them, they are change makers. And those change makers are at the forefront of innovation, if only you let them be. And the only thing that you need to do, everyone listening to this, to equip your organizations to be designed to be future ready and embrace these types of leaders, the only thing you've got to do is shift your attitude and drop the ego. That's the only thing you have to do.
So good. So good. Yeah. But it's so hard to drop ego, right? In leadership, I think when you were saying, let's create part of the system to open up for disruptors to share, I always joke about this, you know, the celebrities that surround themselves with people that only tell them yes or what they want to hear. And then where does that lead them down the road of, I'm totally being comical right now, but you know, down the road of, I don't have a nose anymore because I've gotten so much plastic surgery and everyone just keeps telling me how great I look. that I end up pretty much with this distorted face. And because I'm only surrounding myself with yes people. Well, I use that analogy for leaders that only surround themselves with people that are telling them what they want to hear. You're going to end up with a distorted face and maybe no no's in your organization. Yeah. So there's a place for edgewalkers and disruptors to hear them out, to really tap into that, to be on the cutting edge. Yeah.
Yeah. I call that groupthink. I call that leadership groupthink, when everybody's going in the same direction, and even if they have a dissenting perspective, they're still scared and fearful of going against groupthink. And so groupthink can manifest itself in several ways. We see it in modern day organizations in the following ways. Silo-based behaviors. The meeting before the meeting and you're not invited to it. The meeting after the meeting to talk about you and you're not invited to it. Anyone that talks against the common narrative is an agitator. Gary Hamel calls them agitators. But we unfortunately live in a world where agitators get marginalized, right? So if we change the lens by which we see these agitators, these disruptors, and say, actually what they're doing is they're motivated by a bigger picture, by a purpose. And what they're doing is they're trying to evolve the organization. They don't care about the political game. They don't care about rising the greasy pole of the political game, what that leads to. What they care about is that their purpose aligns with the organization's purpose. And guess what? If it does, they're more productive, there's higher morale, they're more engaged, and you get less turnover. I can speak to all the stats and the research out there that show and corroborate this. And again, it comes back to one thing, shifting the lens by which we see these types of talent. That's all it comes down to. No fancy, you know, leadership development program sponsored by this business school that sponsors every event that, you know, Shroom put on or whatever it is. None of that. It's just that we have to take responsibility individually, Amy. How are we going to show up in the organization? Mm-hmm. What do we do? Like, interestingly, McKinsey did some research recently where they said that 86% of people who have left their organization post-pandemic do so because the leaders in that organization are uncaring. Now, if this was 4 years ago, I might be inclined to say, shame on those uncaring leaders, right? They're the ones that need to change. But as I've evolved on my journey to become a compassionate disruptor, I've had to understand what motivates me. And instead of wanting now to throw the grenade in the middle of the room, I want to meet those leaders where they are. So what I say to those leaders who are looked at as uncaring is, why do you think you have to play the game? So you talk about compassion earlier. Let's show some compassion to the leaders and the talent in those dysfunctional organizations, where they think that they have to put on a mask. Why do you feel you have to put on a mask? Let's get to the root cause of that. And then you get to choose every day. Do I want to show up like this today? Do I want to wear a mask today? How can I thrive at work? You know, your whole thing, Amy, is about creating magic at work. How could we create magic at work if we simply did that one thing differently?
Mm-hmm. So that's what inspires me. Yeah, thank you.
It starts with that.
So inspiring. It does start with that. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to pull a card for the listeners and for you, Paul. This was a very inspiring talk today. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
You.
I'm going to pull a message for everyone from the universe, and we'll see what comes up today. This card, there's always a card that just like flies out. Oh, this is so cool because it's confidence. And I feel like Let's pray and send beautiful energy to confidence to the edgewalkers, confidence to the disruptors. The affirmation on it is, I'm proud of my unique gifts. There is never a mistake when we pull these messages. I am proud of my unique gifts, and I'm excited to share them with others.
Wow, that's that's very relevant. And may I tell you why it's very relevant in one or 2 minutes?
Yes.
Where I'm living at the Okay, thank you. Where I'm living at the moment, I'm near the ocean. So every morning or every afternoon, I go for a walk to get my head together, clear my head, focus on the day ahead, or review the day that's come. And it's anyone that knows me, and I talk about this quite publicly. Anyone that knows me knows that I sometimes think that I suffer from imposter syndrome, and I always suffer from self-doubt. And I get crippled by that sometimes. But once I'm in the moment, everything's cool. But the reason I needed to hear that card and see that card today, Amy, is because today is one of those days where I've just been thinking, who wants to hear my message? Like, who actually is going to make a difference with what we're doing in the world in this area? And it reminds me that we make a difference one conversation at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to hear that. And that was, I think that was something that was on my mind as I walked this morning, that self-doubt, because walking this path is a lonely one. It's a long mm-hmm. one. There is no rule book for this, despite what mm-hmm. people on LinkedIn might tell you, you know, invest in this $97 program yeah. and you'll become an overnight, you know, everyone will know your work. It doesn't happen. It just simply doesn't happen. Right. And you said off stage with me about, quantum leadership, and it mm-hmm. but it kind of made me think about something that I use to ground myself spiritually, and I use a lot of Bob Proctor's work, thinking into results. I use a lot of quantum leap. So Price Pritchett talks about, you know, having faith in the unseen, like mm-hmm. relying mm-hmm. on unseen forces, suspending disbelief. So mm-hmm. doing whatever you feel that you're capable of, and trying to quell that self-doubt. And also a lot of Buddhist spiritual teachings from Pema Chodron. They mm-hmm. help me in moments where the lake is not calm mm-hmm. and I'm in the boat and everything around me is just erratic. And on days like today, where it has been, pulling that confidence card and recounting what I do to help ground myself spiritually has been quite affirming. So thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that with everyone, because the journey is not linear by any means. And sometimes it can look like that with social media posts and different things like that. So for the people that are listening that are identifying as change makers, edge walkers, I would ask for you to think about what parts of yourself are you hiding from the workplace. And for the people that don't really identify as a change maker or an edge walker, I would offer everyone to consider where are some places that you can think of that you can be supportive to some coworkers that might be looked at within the organization as disruptors, and see if we can't build that bridge of connection in that way. So, Paul, thank you so much for being on Create Magic at Work. It has truly been a gift to have this conversation with you today. And if people want to connect with you and learn more, where can they reach out to you?
Thank you. And by the way, it's always a pleasure to talk to like-minded people, as well as those that get me to think differently about existing thoughts and evolve mm-hmm. my thinking as well, because I think that's how we do this ripple effect. It influences us, and we get sparks and ideas and new thoughts come from that. So thank you as well. If someone's interested in talking to me, they can reach me at paulmackleadership.com. They can reach me on LinkedIn under Paul McCarthy. Just send me a note or connection request. I have a podcast myself. It's through Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. You can find me wherever you find your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever you do. And I'm always up for conversations. One conversation at a time is how we do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sending magic to everyone today. And thank you for standing up for the fired leaders.
Always will. Thank you.
Do you have this feeling that you were called to do something very special and important in the world? Do you consciously tune into something higher than yourself for guidance and inspiration? Have you had mystical or spiritual experiences that have provided guidance in your everyday life and work? If you answered yes to those three questions, then you are a fit for a Create Magic at Work coaching program. If you're looking to explore new frontiers in your personal and professional life, I invite you to consider stepping into one of my coaching programs. I specialize in helping people step outside of their comfort zone and embrace the unknown. Whether you're looking to launch a new business venture, navigate a major life transition, or simply push yourself to reach new heights, I can help you achieve your goals. Please schedule a complimentary consultation with me at createmagicatwork.net. Click on Work with Amy, and I can't wait to see you. Sending magic to you. Hi, everyone. Amy Lynn Durham here. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. All the show notes and links can be found at createmagicatwork.net, or you can just look in the show notes in the episode and they're right there for you. Come back each week and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to leaders that create less drama and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You have the power to create a burnout-free workplace right now. You can gain access to my new course, Create a Burnout-Free Team and Workplace, where you'll receive step-by-step tutorials in creating a team and organization that thrives. Click the link in the show notes to join us. I hope we brought a little magic to your day. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.